Lori, we're back.
Hi, Adam.
Hey, it's good to talk to you again. So for our listeners, just as a reminder, welcome to the Travel Vertical Podcast. I'm Adam Stoker, President and CEO of Relic, and also host of the Destination Marketing Podcast. And Lori, why don't you remind everybody who you are?
Yeah, hello, everybody. I'm Lori Farr, and I'm the editor of The Travel Vertical, and pleased to be co-hosting this podcast, The Travel Vertical Podcast, with Adam.
It's been so much fun, and we say every week that we've got a great show, and we do, because there is a lot of unique stuff happening in the industry. And Lori, you've picked up on something that kind of led you to bring in our guest for today, who we'll introduce a little bit later. There's something going on in the industry, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm writing the Travel Vertical as we speak, and I've been seeing so much rebranding going on. So clearly, people have been busy during COVID, and nobody knew, was it going to last for 2 weeks, but it gave an opportunity for people to, take stock and look at the brand and do a refresh. And so we're seeing an awful lot of that. And we're going to talk to Salt Lake City today about the one that they've just completed.
Yes, I'm excited to do that. You know, with COVID, audiences changed, stakeholder businesses changed, the customer experience changed. And so I'm so proud of all these destinations that have decided, you know what, it's hard, it's a lot of work, but we're going to do it. We're going to re-examine everything and rebrand our destination. Lori, who are some of the destinations out there that you've seen that are going through this other than Salt Lake?
You know, I found a couple dozen, and I haven't even been looking hard. So I did see this week that the Los Angeles Tourism and Convention Board has a brand new logo. This may not be a complete rebrand, but certainly the logo's redone with a sun motif and new iconography. Thank you. New iconography. They couldn't just say font and a color palette. So the new logo is designed to, quote, embrace the optimistic spirit of Angelenos while inviting visitors to discover a destination that celebrates personal freedom. So we got that one going on. Then we've got an all-new Vancouver up in British Columbia. They launched last week, and they worked with MMGY. So that's been a mid-pandemic exercise. So you'll see what Vancouver's done with that. Out with Tourism Vancouver and in with Destination Vancouver.
Okay.
Right? And then Washington, D.C. did another launch last week as well with the mayor, Bowser, in Washington. And their new tagline is, you know Washington, now experience D.C. In D.C., we've got an independent creative agency called January 3rd. And they produced a 30-second video that I'm going to publish. And they worked with individuals throughout the community. So they've got a ballerina. They've got a voiceover artist. They've got a photographer, and they even have the font designer, who are local talent. So that's Washington, D.C. Now, in New York, they are spending $30 million, the biggest single multi-million dollar campaign that New York City has ever done.
Is that all? Just $30
million? $30 million. And they also did a launch last week. So they promised us in May or June, when we first noticed that this was going on, that they were going to give us the tagline in June, and they have done. So here it is. It's time for New York City. And there's an exclusive scoop on that in the New York Times, if you don't have a paywall there. New York City to reluctant tourists, please come back. And the DMO suggesting it's finally time to invite your friends and family back. So that one starts out, it's got phases, and that one starts out teaming up with AAA to promote road trips because they've got an audience of 8 million people in the Northeast who live nearby. So that's where it begins. And the spot they've produced is asking people, where were you in the summer of 21?
Okay. Well, that's going to be an interesting one to watch. I know you, especially having been at that destination, probably are fascinated to see what's going to come of that campaign. Any thoughts or opinions as you look at it?
Oh, I'm excited to watch all of these roll out. And the small cities are at work too. So I noticed Lubbock, Texas has a new Buddy Holly Hall of Performing Arts and Sciences. And it's a very cool looking modern building that just opened. So Lubbock, Texas is rebranding. And then I saw...
You know, my parents used to live there, Lauren.
Oh, wow. Cool place.
Yeah, I've been to Lubbock many times. I'm excited to see their rebrand. I'll have to look that one up.
Yep, they're working on that. And I'm a Buddy Holly fan as well. So we've got a rebranding workshop that I took a peek into on Zoom last week, and that's in Sunny Isle, Florida. Durango, Colorado is deeply involved in their sustainability-focused assessment. We've got New Fort Ritchie, Florida, in the rebranding business. Ocean City, Maryland has just enthusiastically approved a strategic rebranding project that was put forward by the new CMO out there. And a place called Rhinelander, Wisconsin has announced a rebranding that they're doing with local stakeholders like the Chamber of Commerce. That's just for starters.
That's a lot. That's a lot. So as you were looking through all of those rebrands, I'm gonna ask you to do something uncomfortable. Let's talk about your favorite one that you saw. Which destination had the most impressive rebrand in your opinion?
It's not exactly a rebrand, Adam, if I can sort of not answer the question. but there were two things that stood out to me this week. And one is that, you know, Forever Maryland is a 26-foot statue that's coming back to downtown Palm Springs. And she was gone for 7 years. You know, and the statue is the famous pose, you know, of the billowing skirt from Maryland. Yeah. Yeah. And anyway, I don't know where she went for 7 years, but the actual scene of Marilyn Monroe is from the movie, The 7-Year Itch, that was filmed in 1952. So the statue is enormous. It's 26 feet high. And the local debate, you know, is it jeers or is it cheers for the statue coming back? And whether or not she should have her, which side of her should be facing the back of the museum and which side should be facing the front of the museum. So Marilyn, Forever Marilyn, is back. And that certainly is part of the brand that Palm Springs has got. And in Chicago, I'll just tell you about one more. In Chicago, they've decided that Lakeshore Drive needs to have a new name. So if you live in Chicago, you're kind of LSD is the way you can refer to it for short, which is not Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. But Lakeshore Drive, you know, it's an important thoroughfare. And so the Twitterverse has gone a bit crazy about this because the city councilors have decided in their wisdom, now it needs to be called Jean-Baptiste Point du Sable Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, well, that's easy to remember.
Exactly. So what do you think people are just going to say? They're going to say LSD for short, just like before, right?
I think they might. Or we could encourage everyone to learn French so that it's a more natural thing to remember. What do you think's more realistic?
Well, you know, Jean-Baptiste Point du Sable is a fellow who was credited with being the first non-native settler in what is now Chicago. And the local people on Twitter, they're just saying, hey, you know what? The renaming of the Sears Tower to the Willis Tower never stuck either. So let's not worry about it.
Interesting. Okay. Well, those are all some really good ones. You know, I think one of the ones that really stood out to me, Lori, as I've looked through some of them, is Visit Salt Lake. And you were able to secure a highly sought after interview with our guest today. It's actually a close friend of mine, so it's fun to have her on. Her name is Caitlin Eskelson, and she is with the Visit Salt Lake, and they have recently gone through a rebrand. Caitlin, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. We're excited to talk about rebranding. A lot of DMOs have been looking at this during COVID, especially when it seemed like a good chance to do so. So we'd love to hear more about what you did and why you did it and what successes have occurred since you've done it. But the most interesting starting point for our conversation, I think, is the fact that you were considering the Visit Salt Lake rebrand before the pandemic. So what brought it about initially?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you so much. So prior to the pandemic, we recognized that we needed to go through a rebrand. And A little bit of history is that our organization has been around for about 40 years, and never in the history had we gone through a holistic rebranding process. So we had always gone through some, you know, campaign processes, things like that, based on, you know, the market and the times, but never through a holistic rebrand. What kind of sparked it was actually that I started my role March 16th, 2020, which I know when you look back, it's sort of the day that the pandemic began. But even prior to that, in some of my interview stages, it was really apparent to me that anytime you would ask a client or someone that lives in Salt Lake what they loved most about the destination, they rattled off this long laundry list of reasons, and it could never be put into a 15-second elevator pitch. And it seemed really concerning to me at the time, because when you start listing off a laundry list of assets that a community has, at some point it almost starts to become apologetic. And I think that was the aha moment for me, and that one that where the light bulb went off and said, we need to head through a rebranding process so we can be very clear on who we are, what we want to do, and what our value add is to a customer coming in market. So that's kind of what sparked it.
Yeah, it almost seems like everybody could rattle off all the features that Salt Lake City had. The thing that was difficult to articulate was the benefits. And I feel like your campaign has done a really nice job of bringing together all the features into the benefits that people will get when they visit Salt Lake.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right.
So how did you get started?
Yeah, so once we kind of rounded, you know, around or rallied around the idea that we wanted to go through a rebrand, we did go to RFP, and we had a selection committee that ended up selecting a firm out of Milwaukee called BBK. And they had done a lot of work in rebranding, you know, in the different travel verticals, and just had extensive work in terms of what we were looking for, very high on the creative elements. So we got started with them. We entered into an RFP, and it was very robust, everything from, you know, actual creative concepting, a ton of research, which I'm happy to kind of talk through that process, because that was the bulk of about 2 to 3 months, you know,
yes, please,
in terms of actual time. And then, you know, and then rolled it out. So I would say all in, it took about 9 to 10 months. When you talk about research, we really wanted to make sure that we got this right. It was very important to us that at the end of the day, you know, when we rolled out with a brand and we went through a really exhaustive process, an expensive process, that we got it right. So research was very key for us. We interviewed about 822 exactly visitors that had come and experienced Salt Lake and were willing to share their feedback. I think the other biggest thing that we did, and I think this is sort of a trend across our industry generally, is that we interviewed stakeholders. Mm-hmm. And stakeholders for us was everything from the traditional stakeholder, like the businesses we serve, our board, et cetera. But it was also other groupings that were a little atypical for tourism generally. So we interviewed economic developers, people that were coming to Salt Lake and looking to invest, you know, invest in capital improvements or invest in a hotel. And so we looked at a lot of different people that were a little less traditional than what we would typically look at from the campaign level. And I think what we ultimately came out with was something that, for a lack of a better term, because the visual is a salt crystal, but very multifaceted. And everyone that looks at it, depending on where you are, what business you're in, what market you're in, they look at the crystal and it might mean something for every different person or every different sector, which is really, I think, interesting and very unique to this brand.
Yeah. So when people think research, they think, you know, a focus group where you've got a big group of people in a room, lunch on the table, you know, everybody's kind of talking and answering questions. COVID threw a real wrench in the gear of that research, didn't it? I mean, you guys had to get creative with how you gathered the information compared to what, you know, a traditional research method would look like.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think we did do some kind of lower level intercept surveys, if you will, online, but the majority of our research was really actual phone calls with people via Zoom, of course, and was asking them, and it was very qualitative in nature. You know, obviously we earmarked keywords that we were hearing during that time, but just a lot of phone calls and a lot of discussions, which is hard because it really equates to a lot of hours. You know, it's not something that you could just kind of fly through or whiz through really quickly. But ultimately, I think it was really worth it. And we got a lot of very endearing comments about what Salt Lake is and what it is not.
Was anything that stood out as a surprise that you learned from the interviews?
Well, I wouldn't say so much of a surprise, but definitely that Salt Lake is full of juxtapositions. You know, if anyone that knows Salt Lake knows that, you know, a lot of the history kind of goes back to a predominant religion. But we also, when you look at who Salt Lake is today, it's, you know, it's very diverse and it's very different than what it was originally built on, you know, as when we first became a state and in a city. And so I think that one of the most interesting things is that I love the tagline that we use that says things that shouldn't go together miraculously do. And I think that's very beautiful and unique to Salt Lake because we are full of those juxtapositions. And I think the surprising thing was when we were able to articulate that and create a narrative is that that is true. And everyone really does want to all, you know, coexist and live together and create this kind of unique, unbelievable ethos for Salt Lake. And why it was so different is because, you know, our typical campaigns, you know, for example, if there was a certain perception of Salt Lake, we would try to go and tell the polar opposite. So at one point, you know, in recent history, there was a time where people thought, oh, you can't get a drink in Salt Lake City. Well, in fact, you can, you know, we're just like any other city. But a typical campaign prior to going through this would be out talking about, you know, all the alcohol that you can consume and things like that. And come to find out, that's not really what people had a question about, because they're not coming here just to, you know, partake in alcohol. They just wanted to simply know if you can get it. And so there were some aha moments for us to say, people really value who we are as a destination holistically, and we can be all of that to everyone. And we don't have to go out on a single limb and try to be apologetic. And it was just nice to have that reframe, if you will.
Well, so after all that research, and clearly you got some interesting insights from that research, let's kind of unveil where you landed, Caitlin.
Yeah. So we landed basically at the juxtaposition concept. And so it basically highlights that we can be this and we can be that. So one of the quotes from our manifesto that I also really like says, we're a little bit hallowed ground. We're a lot of bit breaking new ground. And what that talks about is that, you know, sure, we honor our history, but we're also the home to a huge tech capital here. So we have Silicon Slopes that's moving in. We have more tech companies, you know, coming to Utah incrementally than most other states. And so that's kind of where we landed. Our tagline is West of Conventional. I think it's a play on not only a geographic location, but that we're just a little bit, you know, different and nuanced than other destinations. And then obviously our tag or our emblem is a salt crystal, which can mean things to different people. We can play with the colors of the salt crystal. It obviously pays homage to the fact that we are Salt Lake City, a lot of homage to our history here, which has a lot to do with salt and the economy. We also refer to people as salt of the earth, which I think we have a unique fold of people here that are very salt of the earth. So I think there's a lot of ways to spin this. And that's kind of what we liked about it, is that we feel like it's something we can be today, but it's also something we can grow into. From the multifaceted side, we know that DMOs are largely really spinning their organizations from just marketing to kind of destination management. And so it also allows to speak to our industry clusters and economic development, like, you know, tech and, you know, some of these other clusters. So for us, it was about, what is a story we can tell today, and what is something that we can grow into 5 to 10 years down the line? And I think we've found that with this salt crystal.
Well, I think that's really, that was an aha moment. I think that's very clever that you landed on juxtaposition, multifaceted, and then you came up with a crystal that's multi-sided, and that works together beautifully. My question now, I think, is whether in doing the research with visitors and with stakeholders, did you find anything sticking out as one of the multifaceted aspects that came from residents as a comment, or did it all fit together beautifully? Was there anything outstanding that, in terms of the resident sentiment?
Well, you know, for the most part, I will say I have gone through many brand launches, and this went probably more seamlessly than any one single launch I'd been through in the past. I think one of the things that all destinations have to deal with is that when you're interviewing people in the community or people, residents that live here, especially those that are born and raised here, oftentimes they kind of forget how amazing it is. And so I always say that sometimes our residents are, I'm not trying to shame them, but sometimes our worst public relations. And one example would be, you know, say we think we're having a bad snow year in terms of, you know, average snowfall for the ski season. To a local, they'll tell you, oh, this snow is terrible. You know, yeah, well, compared to what we would normally get. But if you're talking to someone from Minnesota or Wisconsin in the Midwest, this is the best snow they've ever seen. So I think that sentiment, you know, when you're talking to residents, they just sometimes view the destination a little bit differently than a traveler coming here and seeing it for the first time or spending a minimal amount of time here. So sometimes you just have to take resident sentiment with a little bit of, as you know, as a grain of salt a little bit, because
to stay on brand.
Yeah, to stay on brand. And you know, they've lived here forever, and you know, everything, you know, sort of does dull in someone's mind over time. So I just think it's that balance between what you're hearing from the resident and what you're hearing from the traveler.
Caitlin, to just as someone that lives, you know, 45 minutes south of Salt Lake and knows Salt Lake very well, I've got to say that the concept of West of Conventional and the juxtaposition that you're playing off of, I think it's a brilliant execution of the rebrand for Salt Lake. Congrats to you and your team for a job well done.
Thank you so much. I mean, we're very excited. And I will tell you that when you're going through this concepting, and Adam, you know this, you know, probably even better than I do, but you have about four options or, you know, or so that they put in front of you. And we all felt the most uncomfortable with the salt crystal because there was so much discussion about, will people understand what it means? You know, it was very, you know, it's very geometric, it's very multifaceted, which means that it's a little bit hard to put inside of a box, you know, like, what is this? And I will tell you, one of the comments from our agency that I really valued is they said, if you didn't feel a little nervous about it, we would know that it's not the right thing for you. And I really loved that. And that's how we kind of spoke to our board about it, because you should feel a little bit outside your comfort zone when you go into a new brand, you know, because it has to be something that you want to live with for 3 to 5 years or maybe longer. And I thought that was just really good advice that they offered up.
Yeah, if there's no discomfort, you haven't changed anything, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's a good point. Anyway, it goes over well as far as I can see from the consumer point of view. And I do know that nobody in Utah bothers to ski when it's cloudy out. You know, they don't have a sunny day. Why ski, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I want to talk about the color palette. That's curious to me. But so the color palette, I want to discuss that with you, if you'd be so kind. And then I want to lastly, make sure that I ask you about any advice for other DMOs, anything to avoid, any pitfalls that you discovered in the process. But tell me about the colors.
Yeah, so the color palette is very pastel in nature. We had a long internal discussion about the color palette, and it was almost the last thing that our stakeholders bought off on. And at many points in the conversation, we were looking at changing it. What changed our mind is a couple things. Is first of all, when you look at the color palette and you look at what is trending in terms of design colors, this is it. So our agency is very on top of trending, you know, colors that are happening, not only in the travel verticals, but also, you know, amongst all other industries. And so pastels are sort of, again, something that are a rising trend and a little point of discomfort, because I think that it's very cutting edge and something that we will build towards as feeling very comfortable with the palette. The other thing is that there was a photo that showed up on my Instagram feed, and I believe the photographer's name was Logan Davidson. And he is a local photographer. I believe he's here in Utah, and I'll have to fact check that. But he took a picture of the Great Salt Lake. And when you take a picture of the Great Salt Lake in an aerial view via a drone, it is exactly our color palette. And it was so interesting because the day that we had our board meeting and we were having a color palette discussion, we saw that photo and we brought it to the meeting. And 100% within seconds, the board was absolutely convinced. So wow. I think that, you know, it kind of all came full circle for us because the conversation was very much about, you know, we're an outdoor destination. We want this color palette to be, you know, very emblematic of that. This isn't it. You know, we always think of Utah and we think of Red Rock and, you know, and then in the northern part, we think of, you know, the greenery of the national forests and white from the snow. But when you look at the Great Salt Lake and the story that we were trying to sell from that aerial view, it is absolutely 100% our color palette.
Interesting. So people can see it if they go to your website. It's the new graphics are there, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
I wanted to ask you one more thing about the branding. You know, in San Francisco, it's rude to say San Fran. It's just not done.
Right.
And in New York
right.
City, it's absolutely fine to say NYC. How about Salt Lake? Is it cool to not say Salt Lake City, but rather to drop the city part?
Well, what's interesting is that it's actually our jurisdiction. So we are contracted through Salt Lake County, not uh-huh. city. So Salt Lake is actually our jurisdiction.
Got it.
So Caitlin, you know, we've got a lot of destinations that are listening to the show. We don't want to brag, but there's tons of them, right?
Right.
But no, we want to make sure that we give advice, right? And COVID created a situation where everyone needed to reevaluate everything. And I think we're going to see a lot more rebrands. And I think you guys were kind of on the front end of that. So as destinations are looking at a rebrand, what do they need to watch out for? What do they need to be careful of that maybe you can help them avoid making some of the mistakes that maybe you saw along the way?
Yeah, I mean, I was in sort of a interesting situation because not only was I a brand new CEO, but we hit COVID literally on the first day that I started. And I think that when you go through something as hard as COVID, or you're new to an organization and you want to make your mark, you want to rush the process. And so I think, Adam, you and I have always joked that, you know, people want to, they want to head straight for the fun parts. They want to, they're like, okay, but what's the logo? You know, and,
yep.
and, you know, you have to step back. And it was really uncomfortable for me to sign up with the agency and give them like, again, it was by the time we had our brand launch event, it was nearly a year, which is a long time, you know,
yeah.
and I am not a patient person. And it was really hard for me to not see any type of deliverable until 6 or 7 months, 8 months in possibly. So I think that I suspect that COVID is going to put everyone across the board into a pattern of urgency to say, how do we be the first back from this? Or how do we do this really quickly? And I would just say, you know, trust the agency, trust the process, and let them have a solid, if it's 3 to 4 months of research, you're going to be better served on the back end. That said, it's super uncomfortable, especially given that we're all in this massive fast recovery mode. But I would say long term, you're going to be much better suited.
Great advice.
Great advice.
Well, Lori, do you have anything else you wanted to ask, or should we do a wrap up?
Well, so many things. I mean, we could certainly talk for another hour, but looking at the clock, we aren't going to.
Good point.
Yeah, it's really fun to talk about, you know, the fun stuff. And it's also fun to talk about the hard stuff. And I appreciate the last comment that you made. Is there anything else you think that we really should have asked you, Caitlin, that you wanted to hit on?
You know, one of the things I challenged my team with is that I think as DMOs, we sort of all get in this cadence of this is how we do things. You know, we've done it this way for X number of years. This is how we do things, or this is how meeting planners want to be communicated to, or this is how, you know, leisure travelers. And one of the challenges I told my team is I said, you know, I don't want to go through this entire branding process and come out with a nice new look and do things the exact same way as we've always done them. So I think the real challenge is now that we, you know, have our brand in place, it's literally looking at how we do every single piece of our business and making it just a little, you know, west of conventional, if you will. So that's a real challenge because not everyone is innately a creative. And I think also not everyone feels super comfortable being kind of pushed outside of their boundaries. And so it's almost been this really amazing transition within our team and our staff to kind of embrace things and throw things at the wall and see what sticks. And, you know, it's been fun to watch some processes of, you know, how we've done things for 20 years shift in the last 2 to 3 months. And I think you're going to see a lot of that with COVID as well.
Awesome. Well, Caitlin, we know you got to run. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and our listeners. We had a lot of valuable information come out of this, and I know our listeners did too. So thank you so much for your time.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Good luck with the new look. We love it.
Thank you. We love it too. And we'll let you know.
Thank you.
See you, Caitlin.
Take care.
Well, what a great show today. Thank you to Caitlin Eskelson for coming on and joining us. And thanks, Lori, for looking at dozens of destinations rebrands so that we could talk about it on today's show.
Yeah, I'm sure there are going to be some more coming along, but Caitlin's got an exciting one.
I agree. Well, thank you, and thanks everyone for listening. We really appreciate it, and we hope that if you enjoyed today's content, that you'll leave us a rating or a review, and that will help us continue to bring you the industry news every couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.